the message of grace cannot be reduced to sin management.
God does not speak for the fun of it. There's so much power in His word. The Bible says, in Him, we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace.
You see things pop up in the name of Jesus. I'm a prophet. You see things pop up in the Middle East, Israel, Saudi, United Arab Emirates. Jesus is here. You see things pop up. Kingsley, right? Jesus is here. I'm seeing your masters out of this country. I don't know, but I'm seeing the Lord raising help. And I'm seeing the doors of North America or UK open for you. It's either UK or North America. Three countries, UK, Canada, US. Nothing more, nothing less. You will choose out of the three. For the Lord has made a highway. Yes. The Lord has made a highway. The Lord has made it possible. The doors will open to you, Kingsley. The resources will flow. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name. I don't know if you ever thought of politics, but I'm seeing you springing forth in government. Go and learn government. Pay attention to international diplomacy and governance. I'm seeing things spring forth in the name of Jesus. I'm seeing people springing forth here. He said, for our Lord sprang out of Judah. He says, for our Lord sprang out of Judah. What we are doing, this is Judah. This is praise. This is ministry to the Lord. Lift your hands. You are springing forth suddenly. I say you are springing forth suddenly. I hear that, Lord. Your heart desires the things you have written down, the things you have put in your heart as overriding desires, are springing forth as mighty testimonies. I said they are springing forth as mighty testimonies. They are springing forth as mighty testimonies. In the name of Jesus. You know what it means to spring forth? It means to appear suddenly. Rebecca, I speak in the name of Jesus. Lift your hands. That thing you wrote down, what you need as a miracle in this third service, what you wrote down, you put in your heart, whatever, as an overriding desire, trusting God for him this season. I speak in the name of Jesus and by the Spirit that the testimonies are springing forth suddenly. I say the testimonies are springing forth suddenly in the name of Jesus. Let your heart desires be turned to testimonies. Let your prayer requests be turned to testimonies in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I hear outrageous testimonies. Testimonies are someone who say, let me hear again. It doesn't sound like it's true. But you say, it's before you look at it. In the name of Jesus. Outrageous testimonies. Thank you, Lord. Somebody standing here, you have prayed about your family in recent time very passionately. I bring the word of the Lord to you. The Lord is visiting your home. The Lord is visiting your family. That means the breakthrough is not just for you, it's for the entire family. Things will flip. And I see tears of joy. I see festivity. I see rejoicing. In the name of Jesus. For the testimony of that family is springing forth suddenly. I hear in my heart, testimonies are springing forth. Testimonies are springing forth. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Kai, do you believe me this morning? God has sent me to you. Some of you by next Sunday. What am I saying? By tomorrow you have a testimony. Before next service you have a testimony. In the name of Jesus. For some it to be testimonies. I see favor everywhere. I see favor everywhere. Lift your hands. I see favor everywhere. I see tangible and remarkable favor. This is not, somebody gave me pure water. That's favor. I speak in the name of Jesus. Tangible, remarkable favors. tangible, remarkable favors. In the name of Jesus, let it begin to manifest in this service. Let it begin to manifest after this service. Let it manifest through the week. Let it manifest through the month, in your life, in your family. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Everything that God has placed in people's hearts and hands to give you. Leba baratuske balika taska. Shepetola prunetepa. Under this anointing, I put them under pressure. I put them under pressure. I put them under pressure. They will not hold back. They will release them from your hands. In the name of Jesus. Everything that the Lord has placed in people's hearts and hands to give you, they release them to you speedily. In the name of Jesus. You hear testimonies of pastor. Somebody called me. I was like, he was under pressure. Send me your account number, and sent the money. You say you needed this. I just thought about it. I'll give it to you. In the name of Jesus. Mark, this was a tangible and remarkable favors. In the name of Jesus. And the things that God has placed in people's hearts and hands to give to you, they are releasing it to your hands. Father, we thank you. Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. Hallelujah. You may be seated very briefly. Sit very briefly.
Oh come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. Elabosa. Oh come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. Rejoice.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory, glory, glory. What did I say she opened to in second service? Act 1:8, right? Okay, so I know what to do now. Let me set you in and finish up reading to righteousness. Okay? And see how to enter the third dimension. Amen. That's legislative expression of grace. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. We've been talking about the government of grace, right? All right. So grace has three expressions. The judicial, which is redemption. The executive, which is righteousness. So let's just start from Romans chapter 1, verse 21. So Romans 5, 21. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Kebrunda kapatososh to poraba. Shalom, shalom, Jerusalem. Shalom, shalom, Jerusalem. Shalom, shalom, Jerusalem. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Listen, when we sing about Jerusalem, don't let your mind go to the one in the Middle East. The Bible says the Jerusalem which is from above is free and is the mother of us all. The tale of two cities. The Bible talks about the allegory of two cities. The Jerusalem which is in bondage with our children and the Jerusalem which is from above. It's talking about the grace of God that begets us. It's talking about the Zion. He says, you are come unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. That is the one I'm singing about. He said, when you declare peace upon that one, you are declaring peace upon you, because that is where you live. You have come unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, the mother of us all, the one that is free, the one that begat us. When we teach about the government of grace, that is the Jerusalem we're talking about. That is the Jerusalem we're talking about. Make no mistakes about it. Secondly, we can pray for the physical Jerusalem.
we can pray. Yes, you can. The Bible tells us to do that. But primarily, we have come to Mount Zion. He didn't say we are not on our way to Zion. No. We're not on our way to Mount Zion. No. We're already on Mount Zion. Hallelujah. You can still ascend heights on the mountain, but you're already on the mountain. Hallelujah. Upon every mountain, there are levels. There are those at the middle of the mountain. There are those at the summit of the mountain. Hallelujah. So yes, we still ascend on this mountain, but we have come to that mountain. It is the heavenly Jerusalem. And we can declare peace, peace, shalom, shalom upon this mountain. When we sing Jerusalem, see yourself. See yourself. See yourself. Peace be to you. When Messiah's come to take us, may his joy be found in you. How many of you ever sang that song? Shalom, shalom, Jerusalem. Oh, peace be to you. When Messiah's come to take you home, and his praise be found in you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Romans chapter 5, verse 21. Are we ready now? 21. Thank you, Lord. I'm sure you're used to me by now. So when I pause and I sing, you just enjoy it, isn't it? I'm just being me. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Livros kapanila sapaya. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just speak in tongues where you are. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Is it that our sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Just speak in tongues where you are. We're talking about reigning to righteousness, the executive expression of grace. Just speak in tongues where you are. Just help the person. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You see, when you have spontaneous impartations, don't be carried away. Just be in tongues. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
La la la,
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, definitely, some of you are having truly impartations of the Spirit. Just forgive. I almost did the madness of the prophet. Amen. So instead of teaching, I'm just chanting and just chanting and just singing. Just permit me, amen. You know, I love to teach girls all, amen. You see, there's just something on me that I just feel words can't really communicate, amen. Just do me a favor and receive glory to God. You remember I told those who were in second service, I told you that miracles are not the act of God. Miracles are the acts of men that yield to God. The act of men that yield to God. That means the supernatural happens when we respond to the promptings of the Spirit. Amen. And that's what really, that's what we're doing. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So you just enjoy yourself. You just move yourself into that flow. I told you, you can galvanize your entire being. You can. You have the power to. You can galvanize your will, your mind, your emotions into worship, into ministry to the Lord. You can do that, really. David in the old covenant was able to do that, to address his soul and tell his soul to worship the Lord. So you can enter into the flow. That means you can just come and don't feel like, and then tell yourself, man, move into ministry to the Lord and do that. Can we just minister to him in 2 minutes? Can we just minister to him in 2 minutes? La 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 la. Just in your own way. La 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 You just minister to the Lord. You are here, blazing holy fire. I know you are here, precious Holy Spirit. I know you are here. You are here to lift us higher. I know you are here, precious Holy Spirit. I know you are here, flowing like a river, flowing like a river. I know you are here, Ayabalaka, precious Holy Spirit. I know you are here. You are here to bring revival. Here to bring revival. I know you are here, precious Holy Spirit. I know you are here, blazing holy fire. Hey! I know you are here, Elabarados, precious Holy Spirit. Oh, I know you are here. You are here to lift us higher. I know you are here, precious Holy Spirit. All right, thank you, Jesus. Let's see what we can do. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Talking about reigning to righteousness. Now, if you've never heard any of our messages on righteousness, kindly do so, amen. Because righteousness is beyond something you just know for knowing sake. It's part of the skill set for the dominion of the believer on the earth, amen. In many places, and that was what I began to show those who were in first service. He says, grace only reigns to righteousness. So it shows us that grace reigns to righteousness, okay? That means the degree to which you reign is hinged on your depth of revelation of the doctrine of righteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. And Paul, writing in Hebrews chapter 5, talks about those who are babes. He says, for anyone who uses milk is a babe, and he is unskillful in the word of righteousness. And then you ask yourself, why would he use the word skill? He could have just said, everyone who uses milk is ignorant in the word of righteousness. But the Spirit of the Lord, okay, brought that out for us because it's very significant. So your revelation of righteousness is a skill set for reigning. Are you getting it now? That's why it's called skill. Skill. Skill is something you use to improve outcome. Have it together? That's what it calls a skill. So it says, everyone who is a babe is unskillful in the word of righteousness. So understanding the word of righteousness is related to skill. To skill. So it's not about saying, no, I'm the righteousness of God, I'm running off. No. He's saying that this righteousness thing is your tool for reigning. Have it together. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. So you can go to Romans 5. It says, for our sin reigned through death.
Even so, my grace reigned through what? Righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So grace reigns through righteousness. Grace finds executive expression through righteousness. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. Hallelujah. And this is the righteousness of faith. You can get this message in the first service. It began by Abraham. From Abraham, Genesis 15. The first time the righteousness of faith was mentioned is in Genesis 15. Hallelujah. And it's right there, right there, right there. You know, was this Kofi that tells us that for anything to be established as a doctrine, their test must pass. Number one, it must be in the seed form in Genesis. Amen. It must be sung in the Psalms and Proverbs and Song of Solomon. It must be prophesied in the prophets. Hallelujah. Lived out by Jesus. Emphasized or mentioned in the epistles. Glory to God. So if you look at the righteousness of faith, it passes the test of doctrine. In Genesis chapter 15 verse 6, we see that Abraham believed in the Lord and it was counted to him for righteousness. How could the man be made righteous because of what he believed? This is the beginning of the righteousness of faith. He didn't do anything. He just believed. Now, this is Abraham in the Old Testament portion of the Bible. Because Abraham was not under the Old Covenant. Amen. Somebody say, what? Yes. The Old Covenant started on Mount Sinai. Glory to God. Through Moses. Moses was the mediator of the Old Covenant. You already know that. But the point is, Abraham, as far back as Genesis 15, had the righteousness of faith. And I say that in the Old Testament, there were two very prominent figures, Abraham and David. And both of them were associated with the righteousness of faith. There were men who peeped into the days to come and had the experience of grace as it were. And maybe somebody may argue, say, Pastor, why would you call them the two most prominent figures in the Old Testament? I didn't say so. The Bible says so. Until John, the other two, glory to God. And I proved it from Matthew chapter 1 verse 1. He said, this is the genealogy of the generation of Jesus, the son of Abraham and the son of David. He singled both of them out. You said the book of generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David and the son of Abraham. Glory to God. There were many other people in the lineage of Jesus. There are many other great people in the Old Testament. Why did he bring them out? Hallelujah. Why did he bring them out? And you see, when you read Paul's writings and read the epistles, you will see Paul making reference. In Romans 4, when you go home, read the entire Romans 4, the entire Romans 5, okay, and Galatians 3. When you go home, read them. In Romans 4, Paul made reference to these two people, to Abraham, and he quoted David, that's Psalm 32 that we read. He quoted it in that Romans 4. When he was discussing the righteousness of faith, again, the two people come out. Hallelujah. Abraham is referred to as father. David is referred to as the king, all through scriptures. And this means that without the understanding of righteousness, you cannot grasp the fatherhood of God. You can't. And number two, without the understanding of righteousness, you can't enter into kingly dominion on the earth. Are you understanding my teaching this morning? Very important. So, the righteousness of faith. This is not the righteousness of works. In Isaiah 64 verse 6, it tells us that the righteousness of works amounts to nothing but filthy rags. Menstrual rags. Permit me to use that, ladies. Menstrual rags. You don't do anything with it. You discard it. That means the righteousness of works is not compatible with God. Have it together. Living right honors God, but living right must come from the place of revelation of the righteousness of faith. Did you get that now? Praise God. So we see that Genesis 15, the righteousness of faith, Psalm 32, 1 to 2, especially verse 2, the righteousness of faith, Isaiah 54, verse 7, put it up for me. The righteousness of faith, Isaiah 54, verse 7. Now, Isaiah 53 talks about the legality of redemption. What Jesus did, okay, but legally, that
his substitution, the sacrifice of himself, how that God bruised him. Hallelujah. He was made an offering for sin. That's Isaiah 53. It talks about the basis of our redemption. It talks about the redemptive work. Isaiah 54 shows us the blessings of that redemption, the benefits of that redemption. Glory to God. The implication of that redemptive work. Isaiah 55 shows us the bridge. That means when you read Isaiah 55, you see how to activate the blessings of redemption made possible by the sufferings of Isaiah 53. Did you get that? He shows us the principles clearly there. Hallelujah. So Isaiah 54, again, another assignment. When you go home, read the entire Isaiah 53, Isaiah 54. Glory to God, and 55. All right, so give me verse 17, Isaiah 54, 17. When you read Isaiah 54, you see the blessing of no condemnation. I don't have time this morning to show you. I've done teachers here and there about that. The blessings of no condemnation, you see in Isaiah 54. Why? Because of Isaiah 53. That's the foundation. Isaiah 53 begins by saying, who has believed our report? Who has believed our report? That means this salvation begins by believing something. He didn't say who has walked, who has performed. No, who has believed our report. He says, and to whom is the arm, the saving arm of the Lord revealed. So you see, it's hinged on believing. So let's jump to the blessings. I'm taking it back and forth. Isaiah 54, 17. It's righteousness I want to talk about. We quote this a lot. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Why? Jesus died. You know, in this life, if it's not my time, I'll not die. Oh, I shall not die, but live. So everybody who dies inside car accident and plane crash, it was their time, maybe. Is their time? What metrics did you use? What measurement did you use? Don't see empty things that doesn't have root in scriptures. In this life, if it's not my time, I will not die. If it's not somebody's time, it's just his time. That's why he died. You are not a Christian. You practice a religion of this world. Are you kidding me? Life operates by cause and effect. It's a shout of joy and victory resound in the tabernacle of the righteous. Why? Because the Lord's right hand doeth valiantly. Therefore, I will not die, but live to declare the counsel of the Lord. That's the reason you not die. Because the Lord's right hand doeth valiantly. It's the same thing he's saying here. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is where I'm going. He said, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Read the next thing for me. One, two, go. Read it again. Read it again. Their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Have you seen that? I want you to see that their righteousness is of me. Again, that is a reference to the righteousness of faith. Your righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. So when you are saying, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, you are standing on something. Verse 13 talks about, it says, in righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression and from terror, for it shall not come near you. What righteousness? The righteousness of faith. Hallelujah. The righteousness of faith. Romans chapter 10. We'll start from verse 1. Thank you, Lord. Are you blessed already? All right, this is. No, now go to Romans. I've quoted this for them already. Romans 10. He says, brethren, my heart desires and prayers to Israel, to God for Israel, is that they might be saved. This is Paul praying for his kinsmen in the flesh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And hope you know, Paul had a ministry to the Jews. You know that, right? You know, for long, because we emphasize his ministry to the Gentiles, we have cut that out. Paul has a ministry to the Jews.
Paul had a ministry to the Jews. No, I'm not just assuming, no. Is there in the Bible? Amen. He's there in his calling. From the day he was called, he said, go forth and rescue this guy, for he's a chosen instrument of mine. Hallelujah. He will bear witness for me before the Gentiles, the kings, and the Jews. Glory to God. In that Acts 9, I believe. Acts 9, verse 11. You know what I just quoted? You know the pictures that flashed my mind, primary 6. I memorized the scripture from Revised Standard in primary 6. That's what I'm trying to put. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he's saying, he's praying for them that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have zeal, but not according to knowledge. So zeal is not enough. It must be according to prescribed knowledge or other. All right. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness. Now, in your Bible, I want you to underline certain things. God's righteousness. God's righteousness. You see, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness. That means there's God's righteousness. And going about to establish their own righteousness. You can underline that. So there's God's righteousness. There's their own righteousness. They have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Pause. That means this righteousness of God, you submit yourself to it. That is why it's called the righteousness of faith. Next verse. Verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Next verse. Verse 5. For Moses describes watches the righteousness which is of the Lord, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them. That's the righteousness of the Lord. What I'm teaching is important. It's when you face things that you understand. Next verse. He said, but the righteousness of faith, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Oh, hallelujah. It shows us the emphasis of the two kinds of righteousness. He said, the righteousness of the Lord doeth. Doeth. He said, for Moses describes the righteousness which is of the Lord, saying, a man who doeth this thing. But when he started talking about the righteousness of faith, he said, the righteousness of faith, the first emphasis is speaking. How did you get saved? You believed in your heart and you had to speak something. He said, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You just believed and spoke, and you were made righteous. That's the emphasis of the righteousness of faith. What is it telling you? The modus operandi of this righteousness is speaking. Write it somewhere. That means the modus operandi. Remember the first scripture we read. He says grace reigns. He says even as sin reigns through death. He says even so grace should reign through what? Righteousness unto eternal life by our Lord Jesus. That means the way is showing us how grace reigns through righteousness. That the righteousness of faith speaketh on this wise. Speakings of righteousness. That's how righteousness reigns. This is how we reign through righteousness. Your mouth cannot be shut. You will declare it. When Satan brings accusation, you don't keep quiet, you talk. Are you here? He said, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of their testimonies. By the words of their testimonies, the righteousness of faith speaketh on this wise. The blood came first. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. So standing on that blood of the Lamb, they give testimony. They give testimony. They give testimony. They testified. Meaning they spoke forth in accordance with the provisions of God. We call it the testimony of God. He said, for the testimony of Jesus, right, is the spirit of prophecy. That means the Jew out of the revelation of Jesus and spoke. Are you here? The Jew out of the revelation of scriptures and spoke. That means prophecy is within the limit or within the boundaries of the revelation of Jesus. Prophecy is not soothsaying. I've been saying this for years. Prophecy is not even calling somebody's soul number supernaturally. At best is word of knowledge. At worst is familiar spirits. Prophecy means
going into the rich resources of God's grace and speaking forth words of life based on the revelation of Jesus. You are speaking forth words of life. He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid what man shall do unto me. You are prophesying. You are prophesying. You are prophesying. What is the spirit of that prophecy? The testimony of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus, the living logos. That's what he's saying. Are you here? And by the way, the first ministry of the prophet is intercession. He's not giving personal prophecy and word of knowledge. If you catch anybody just doing that, watch them closely. Something is wrong. Mark my words, anybody who is in a prophetic ministry who does not have burden for intercession is not a prophet. He's calling himself a prophet. We call those on self-acclaimed prophet. But there is a God-proclaimed prophet. According to the law of first mention in Genesis chapter 20 or so, is it 20 or 21? When in the house of Abimelech, God shut the womb of every female there, including the beast. And God appeared to Abimelech in a vision. He said, thou art but a dead man. Aye, Pola Baya, this covenant. This covenant. I mean, who was afraid? I said, no, that's my sister of many things to learn from them. That's my sister. At that point, Sarah was like 86. They are tripping for an 86-year-old woman. No brother in church who sees character. No, this is the Bible says, man looketh at the outer. This is a hidden king. His name is Abimelech. He has no business looking at character. What's his problem? He looks at the outward. And then he was toasting an 86-year-old woman. She was between 80 to 86. Shagabas. The covenant. There's something our generation must dig from the world and leave out for the world to see. They are toasting an 86-year-old woman. And you are complaining. You just need 3 days prayer and fasting on the covenant. That's all. Praise God. Oh, did you get me? Your mother Abraham was 80 years plus when Abimelech would not let his eyes off her. And the husband had to lie. Said, that's my sister, so that they don't kill me because of you. No, think about it. How many 84-year-olds do you know in this country who are too stable? How many of them? Forget my tenses. I mean, forgive my tenses. No, how many 64-year-olds do you know? Eh? You call them mama. Amen. Ngo. Amen. Kaka. Amen. Nene. Amen. Oh, but the power of this covenant. Remember, is this same woman who conceived at 19? Meaning, the power of the Lord rejuvenated her body. Remember, before the power acted, remember what she told the angel? Or says in her heart, I am old. Shall my husband still desire me? Then she was still living in the natural order. But when the power of God came upon her, Abraham looked and said, my God, who is that baby in my house? Late 80s. I don't believe in aging. You didn't hear me. Thank you, Lord. What was I even saying? God met Abimelech, say, you're a dead man. Abimelech says, sir, what are you talking about? It's not my fault. Say, I know. I've seen the innocence of your heart, and I have kept you from touching her. Now go and meet him. He will pray for you, for he is a prophet. Can you see? The first ministry of a prophet revealed in scripture is intercession. And if you look around, every genuine prophet in the New Testament has a burden for intercession. So prophets,
are not those who speak. Who give you direction? And by the way, in the New Testament, prophet does not give direction. No prophet should give you direction. I said, the Lord showed me this is the person you are to marry. What? 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 You are in trouble. Run. In the New Testament, prophets confirm what is in your heart. And I mean, sometimes they will speak and it doesn't even resonate in your heart. But don't worry. Give it time. If it's from God, it will start popping up in your heart. But if it doesn't resonate, leave it alone. Do you understand? If I prophesy to you and say, I see God opening UK and it does not resonate in your heart, leave it alone. But if it came from God, the fire will start burning. Do you understand? In the New Testament, prophets don't give direction. They speak for God concerning situation. And they sit primarily as intercessors for the body and for the land. And out of that crucible of intercession, the word of the Lord comes. They bring warning. They bring direction. Not to individuals. No. They bring the word of the Lord for the season. They speak for God. They proclaim God's mind concerning times and seasons. They bring revelation from God. That's who prophets are. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. The righteousness of faith speaketh on this wise. It speaks. That's what I was talking about. It speaks. This is how we reign through righteousness. Speak. Speak abundantly. Speak in tongues and speak in prophecy. Do you understand? Your life in the days to come will be a sum total of your utterance. And the sum total of the words spoken over you. Speak. You know, recently God was instructing me. He said, well, and he was around this, telling me to be more definite about writing out those things and declaring them daily. The righteousness of faith speaks. He speaks. You don't pay to talk. Talk. Pray in the Holy Ghost and talk. The hand of the Lord is upon me, morning, noon, and night. I am the man that the Lord has helped. I am the woman that the Lord has helped. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. Speak. Quickly, Philippians 3, 9, and then we'll break bread and go. Praise God. Philippians 3, 9. Very quickly, put it up. This is St. Paul talking. He says, and be found in him not having my own righteousness. This should convince you. You can have your own righteousness, but you can submit to the righteousness of faith. He said, not to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. Now, Paul was talking like this after presenting his resume in the flesh. You can read it. He said, concerning Pharisee. No, just give me a few verses from here. He said, he was a Jew of Jews, born to the tribe of Benjamin. Why did he say he was a Jew of Jews? Benjamin was the only son of Jacob who was born in the promised land. Amen. Glory to God. You can check your history. And scholars tell us that. Concerning you, persecuting the church, touching righteousness of the law, of course, which is of the law, blameless. But what things were gained unto me, I counted them loss for Christ. Verse 8. So you see where it's coming from. Yet doubtless I count all this but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus, my Lord. You see where it's coming from. He's comparing his natural resume. He said, but I want to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, but the righteousness which is of faith. Hallelujah. Go to verse 9 now. So this is where your focus must be when you pray. To be found in him, not having your own righteousness, which is of the law, but which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. In these scriptures we have read, you can see the two kinds of righteousness. Hallelujah. The one that causes you to reign is the righteousness of faith. Rise to your feet. Thank you, Lord. Well, I tried. Did I try my best? Amen. At least I was able to give you a little material. God is good. God is gracious. He's merciful and kind. Father, we thank you. I await your testimonies. It is done.
in the name of Jesus. Can we break bread very quickly, take our tithes and offerings, and then we go home? Remember, this evening at 6 p.m., we're praying on Mixelau. From 6 to 7:30, we're praying on Mixelau at Glory Zone Church, okay? Remember to hook up. Tomorrow, we are here at 4 p.m., praying till 7. Still, it will be aired on Mixelau, but try and be around. It's a public holiday, amen. Hallelujah. Upper week 14th, we're having total immersion, amen. Hallelujah. All right, it will be a time of prayer and the ministry of the word and impartations of the spirit, amen. And impartations of the spirit. Prepare for it, don't miss it for anything. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. Lord, we receive your body broken for us. We receive your blood poured out for us. In the name of Jesus, Lebriba Samatanabaya. It's a month of triumph. It's a month of triumph. And we are victorious. We have prevailed over every scheme of hell. We have prevailed in the name of the Lord Jesus. We walk in victory perpetually, continually, in the name of Jesus. The hand of the Lord is upon us. His glory is seen upon us. In the name of Jesus. Right where you are, just speaking other tongues. Speaking other tongues. This is communion. You thank us. So it's just thanksgiving. As you drink, say, Father, thank you. It is done. Do you understand? That's what I want you to do. Father, thank you. It is done. In the name of Jesus.
Your name, wonderful, marvelous are the works of your hand. Great is your name. Sing wonderful,
wonderful,
marvelous are the works of your hand. Great is. Great is
your name.
Sing wonderful,
wonderful,
marvelous, and are the works of your hands. Great is your name. Hey, hey, hey. Sing wonderful, marvelous, are the works of your hands. Great is your name. Your name. Hey, hey, hey.
We believe the Word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.